Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Look, you can't separate peace from the peacemaker. You can't do that. In other words, you can't separate the peace of God from the God of peace. You can't separate them. When he comes, so does his peace. Don't you see? That's the offer. That's what the angels were so ecstatic about. If you don't let him in, you don't let his peace in. Isaiah the prophet, you probably have this on Christmas cards, maybe at your house. It says in Isaiah 9, 4, to us a child is born, and he will be called Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He will be our peace by being our God. So the angels have it right. They have it right there. That might give you some confidence this morning in me that I would agree with what the Bible says. I just sounded funny when it came out of my mouth. The angels have it right. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth. So the key to peace, the glory of God and the peace of men are kept together. Do you see that? Do you see that this morning? What holds those two together? Good questions. Romans 8:15 tells us what holds those two together. Here's what it says. Romans 8:15-13 says, Romans 8:15-13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and what? Peace. What's the end? As you trust in him. Okay, so there's the key. There's the key. Look this way. There's the key. The key is in bold letters. Is it in bold up there? It is in my notes. As you trust in him. The key is, look, trusting in God holds it together. Pause for emphasis. Trusting in God holds it together. They're kept together. As you trust in him, the peace of God and the God of peace are kept. It's a faith thing. It's a trust thing. So here's the question today for us. Do you trust God? Right? Right? Isn't that where we're going? Isn't that what this is leading to? Do you really trust him? And my hope is that that's not a line in a sermon or a rhetorical question, but something to deeply and genuinely meditate on and consider. Do you trust him? Jesus said, the way you know you trust him is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it means to trust him. When you trust him, his peace comes at light speed and fills. When you trust God by surrendering your life to Christ, the peace of God comes. Jesus offers peace with God. That's the offer at Christmas. The second thing about the peace of God, and here's where I'm going to get all up in our business. Jesus demands that I pursue peace with others. Now, that's a strong word, isn't it? The audacity that God would demand something of me. If we're not careful, we'll view God in the Bible through our personal lens and not through his lens. So Jesus demands that I pursue peace with others. So he offers peace with God. That's the offer. And he demands I pursue peace with others. And here's how that's described. So we want peace with God. We get that by fully surrendering to Jesus. He demands that we pursue peace with others. Here's what Ephesians 2:14 says. For he himself is our peace. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's my peace. He's our peace. I like the inclusive language there. For those who follow Jesus, he is our peace, right? Together, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. All right, so what's going on there? Two groups in this case in Ephesians, a Jew and a Gentile. That's specifically who this passage is talking about. The application is to all of us. Two groups, one's Jew, one's Gentile. What's the barrier? Here's the barrier. Ready for the barrier? Here's the barrier. I'm better than you. That's the barrier. The barrier of I'm better than you. The barrier of I was born into a better family than you. That's the barrier. The barrier is my family's history is better than yours. Jesus came to destroy every barrier and every dividing wall of hostility. So he came and eliminated that. And here's what we say. The further the ground at the foot of the cross is level. It's even. There's no hierarchy except Jesus first. When I follow Jesus, listen, he demands that I pursue peace with others. Romans 12, 14 says this, if possible, everybody say if possible, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with your best friend, with all. Okay. So I did some deep searching in the original language. And so what that means is do everything possible. What it means, if possible, means do everything possible. So do everything possible. Do everything that you can. Okay. Work as hard as you can on this one thing. This is important. This is super important. We can't go through Christmas and expect the peace of God to come while we ignore the commands of the peacemaker, right? So here's where it's all up in our business. We're to work as hard as we can on being at peace with everyone. Oh, man, that sounds like work. Do everything possible. Jesus has no problem asking you and I to clock in. No problem. Romans 14, 19 says this. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. So there it is again. Romans 12, Romans 14, twice. I'm going to look for a way. And some of you are thinking, you don't even know what I'm dealing with. If you knew what I was dealing with, I don't know if you would preach it with a smile on your face. This means I'm going to look for a way. I'm going to look for common ground to build upon. The statement is one of force, right? It's a push, it's an effort, it's active. Make every effort. Strive. Pursue. To go after something with the intention of catching. This will cause great discomfort at times. Just me? I'm the only frail humanity in the room. This will cause great discomfort at times. It will cause you to do things that you don't naturally desire to do. So this is to move you to go after peace. Family, some of y'all are going up to your crazy uncle's house. And just a thought, if you're thinking about your family, and you're a man this morning, and you go, well, there's no crazy uncle in our family. Maybe there is. Maybe no one else thinks that but you. Just saying. Just thought I'd, there you go. Co-workers, school, look. Church brothers and sisters. This tells me that there will be forces and situations that will try to cause, look this way, division. If I'm supposed to make every effort, why would the Bible say, make every effort? Why would it say it that strong? Because there are forces in place that will lend to this division. In every single time the enemy comes, one of his tactics is to divide. Divide and conquer. Make every effort to do what leads to peace. Is there an example from Scripture what do I do with make every effort? What do I do with that statement? You're saying the Bible says make every effort. How do I gauge that, right? How am I to gauge what make every effort looks like? Is there an example in the Bible that would help us as a litmus test, right, to what make every effort looks like? I think that's a really important question. I think it's a very good question. What does that look like? Because I'm over here trying, right? I'm doing what I can. What's the example? We can never go wrong with looking to Jesus. So here's a question. What effort did Jesus make to provide peace to you between God and you? What did he do to be able to say, I offer peace? He laid down his life. Whoa. God help us. When we stand on our soapboxes of whatever, the Bible doesn't say compromise your beliefs. It doesn't say cave in to sin. It doesn't say be lukewarm. It says be fiery hot, but make every effort. Make every effort. I've found when the rubber meets the road, and this one in my life, it is painful. It can be painful. God is more concerned with your eternity than your short-term comfort. And he is more concerned with his name receiving glory than someone being right and someone being wrong. So it's this make every effort. What are we willing to do about it? What kind of effort? Make every effort, throw it back up there, 19, which leads to peace and mutual edification. So what I'm supposed to do is to act and to do things in a way that is mutually beneficial. So as I go to do what I can do to be at peace with others, what I'm to do is to do things that bring mutual edification. You know what that means? That means it's beneficial to both parties. That means it's a win for both sides. That means strength is going to come to both parties. The idea of building or constructing. When I look at this scripture and I follow it, look, it takes away my right to say in your face. We're done. Words and actions that are mutually beneficial. So when you find yourself in a situation which there is tension or division and there is not peace, make every effort, Are you doing that? Two, every effort is to be mutually beneficial. Sometimes God calls us, here's a thought, to do things to people, for people, not what they deserve, right? But what's most helpful for them. Aren't you thankful that Jesus did that for us? Right? So there's the example in words and actions. Proactive, it jumps ahead. I'm going to make every effort to show love. I'm going to be first. I'm going to break the ice with words, look, and actions that lead to peace. So here's some things that probably won't lead to peace. Hey, I just wanted to come because I felt like there's some things we need to talk about, and I have a couple questions. Number one, who do you think you are? And number two, what gives you the right? I don't think that's a good way to start a conversation. Michael Scott. Who comes to your mind right now? Is there someone that there is tension with in which you can take a step to make every effort, as much as it concerns you, to be at peace and do things that are mutually edifying? I don't know where to start. How about a sincere, kind word or gesture? So there we are. Jesus comes to offer me peace with God, and Jesus demands that I pursue peace with others. Our dance team has prepared a beautiful, beautiful song that glorifies God and asks them to come if they would and perform Noel. Don't you love it? I love it. I love it. All that passion and worship. He's come. He's arrived. He came to offer peace with God. I can have peace with God when I trust in Him. Faith holds the offer of peace and the receiving of peace together. I receive the peace of God when I, by faith, right, receive the peacemaker, Jesus. I receive Him, His life, His message, His fullness, His commands, all of Him. His name, His mission, His purpose, all of Him. It's a surrendering. Here's the beauty. I receive peace when I quit fighting. Jesus demands that I pursue peace with others. So I come, like Jesus, who offered peace to me, I do the same with others. And I lay down my life because as a follower of Christ, I'm not my own anymore. I don't represent me, I represent Him. His interests are the biggest interest in my life, or they should be, right? I put my self-interest away and embrace His interest. That's why we have, one reason why we have missionaries that go to the other side of the planet to give up what many would say would be the quote American dream, to lay their life down, right? We put our interest of Jesus ahead of ours, and we make peace with others. And the last thing, we're going to land right here. Jesus provides a way to have peace with myself. When we have the peace of God, I've set the foundation, look, to have peace with myself. This includes a sense of guilt, anxiety, that tends to paralyze us with hopelessness. From things that we have done and things that have been done to us. Jesus comes to heal, save, and deliver. The key to this is believing that the promises of God combined with the purposes of glorifying God in our lives bring about the peace of God. So there's times where it would be reasonable, wouldn't it, to have what we would say a reasonable amount of fear or anxiety about a situation, and we would say that seems reasonable. As far as your mind can tell you, you'll be completely justified with that. So what do you do when you have situations like that where you say, it would be reasonable. Nobody would think I'm crazy for not being anxious and fearful about this. What do we do when those realities come to us? Philippians 4 helps us, and it says this. Don't be anxious about anything. Anything? Yep. But in every situation, by your prayers and petition, with thanksgiving, present them. Present your requests to God. And here's what happens. The exchange is the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So God sets up a guard. This guard, look, surpasses normal, rational thought. The normal, rational thought is, oh, I ought to be really messed up inside because of what is going on. That may be a normal, rational thought. I have been traumatized. The Bible says we can present it, we roll it off of ourselves and we roll it onto Him. That's what He says. Present. If something doesn't happen, I got to find some kind of measure of peace here. I can't go on if I don't get some peace here. When I know, look, it's good between me and God. In other words, I have fully trusted Christ. Then I can know it can be good everywhere. Inside. And just the picture that our hearts are under assault. Guilt, worries, threats, confusions, uncertainties. They're all threats to peace, right? Philippians says that God wants to guard your heart. Put your hand over your heart. We view the heart as the center of our emotions, although probably it's more like the mind. Put your hand on your mind or your head. Thoughts and emotions. There it is. He guards our thoughts and our emotions when we trust Him. And He comes to stabilize us from the disabling effects of fear, anxiety, guilt, and worry. And then we're able to carry on with God, and He gets the glory, for what we do because we trusted in him. So Jesus comes to make an offer. Here's the offer. Peace with God. I want that for you today. He says, I make this offer of peace. Now work with me to have peace with others, right? Including your own self. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? So what we want to do right now is we want to ask ourselves a question. We want to ask ourselves a question. Am I at peace with God? How do I know how to answer that? Have I fully surrendered my life to Jesus Christ? Have I fully surrendered my life to Jesus Christ? That's the way that I'll know. If you're here today and you walked in the room and that's not where you're at, but you want to. You heard the music, right? You even saw the kids doing their thing. And you heard the reading of the scripture and the talk about it. And you say, man, that's what I need. Jesus offers you peace right now, today. That's the offer to you today, right now. Is that what you want? Today's could be the best day of your life. It could be the absolute best day of your life. The day of surrender. The day where you lay down your own agenda and pick up God's and say, I will follow Christ Jesus today. And you say, hey, Tim, before you go today, would you pray for me because that's what I want? Would you pray for me because that's what I want? If you're here today and you want to make peace with God. If you were to stand before him and he were to ask you a question like, why should I let you into heaven? You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure what I would say. Well, I'm a good person. Well, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, all right, that takes that away. What would you say? The correct answer is, I'm guilty, God. But because of my faith in what Jesus has done for me, he's paid the penalty. And my sins are removed as far as the east is from the west because I've trusted in him. I surrendered him. If that's what you want today, right here on the Sunday before Christmas 2024, I'd like to lead you in a commitment to follow Christ today. Not in joining a church, not in signing up for something, but to follow Christ today. A personal commitment to surrender to Jesus between you and him today, to make it right with him, a full surrender. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please kind of hold your places where you are. On the count of three, you say, hey, Tim, pray for me today. That's where I'm at. I want to follow Jesus today. I want you to help me to pray and ask God to solidify that commitment. A simple commitment of total surrender to Jesus. On the count of three, just wave at me. One, two, three, all over the place. All over the place. Today's my day. Today's my day. Surrendering to Christ. Full surrender. Maybe you've come, you say, if I was honest, I've been playing games. I've been living this two double life. I say one thing and do another. I'm tired of living a double life. I want to fully lay down my life. I want to fully surrender. I'm tired of compromise. I'm tired of saying one thing, doing another. I want to fully surrender to Christ. And on the count of three, include me in that prayer. Include me in that prayer. You didn't raise your hand the first time, but you are on the second time. One, two, three, all over the place. Today's your day. Today's your day. Can we pray right now? I want us to pray. If you mean this prayer, God hears it as from your heart. I'm going to pray a prayer of surrender. Let's pray together. Say, dear God, I come to you today in Jesus' name, and I surrender everything to you. It's yours. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess that Jesus is Lord, that you died, were buried, and resurrected from the grave. God, surround me with people that can help me and strengthen me by the power of your Holy Spirit to follow you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Yes. Yes. Now, today, some of us may be at odds with someone. Maybe it's a little thing. Can I encourage you? Don't let something little become something big. Or maybe you've tried before and you feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit. As much as it concerns you, do everything possible. Who's the person that comes to your mind? Offer a word of peace, offer a gesture of peace, and work towards peace. If you're here and you're battling guilt, anxiety, maybe from things that you have done or been done to you, there's healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. We're going to celebrate the goodness of God in a moment with a candlelight song. And after that, our prayer team is going to come and be standing in the front. And they're available to pray with you. No prayer request is too small, and none is too big. We're here to pray with you. And after that, we'll dismiss everyone together. Would you stand up on your feet right now?
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.